Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We are living in a certain way in the season of Pentecost. Please, please open your heart to the work of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. And toward that end, if you've never read my book, More of the Holy Spirit, I wrote that book about 3 years ago, reflecting on what I've learned about God's desire to send His Spirit into our hearts and what that Spirit wants to do in our lives. If you've never read my book, More of the Holy Spirit, you can order it online by going to renewalministries.net. Renewalministries.net. No spaces, no capitals, just Renewal Ministries, plural. M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S. renewalministries.net. And when you get to the website, then click on bookstore and you can see how to purchase a copy of the book, More of the Holy Spirit. About a year from now, I'm going to be, hopefully, if you pray for me, hopefully completing a book on holiness of life, personal holiness in the life of Jesus's followers. And I think that we're all are followers or called to be followers. So I hope that will be beneficial to you as well. Go on our website, renewalministries.net. And while you're on that website, if you've not had the experience yet, we have, right when you come to the main page of our website, we have a link right on the front page that will say something about a 20-minute video. It's just a line, and you just click on that 20-minute video that tells a story, in brief, of how Ralph Martin, Peter Herbeck, and I worked together at the beginning of Renewal Ministries, which was begun by God, but we were part of the initial grouping of people who brought that into being. I think you'll see how God worked in our lives, and in some ways, how ordinary it is, but when you put all the pieces together, it really is extraordinary, and it really does indicate the presence of God and the blessing of God. So I hope you'd be encouraged by it. Go to renewalministries.net and click on, as I say, right there on the main page, there'll be a, right at the bottom of it, there'll be a link. And just click on that link and settle in for about 20 minutes. It's I get inspired by it myself, and I was part of it. Sometimes when you're part of something for a long time, you lose that initial inspiration or you lose that initial fire that you experienced. Now, I just have to say we haven't lost it, and watching the video has been a joy for us too, just to see the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God. All right, let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 to 16. Beloved, concerning the salvation of your souls, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and investigated it, investigating the time and the circumstances that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the glories to follow them. This is all Old Testament, what the Old Testament prophets spoke of, the coming of the Messiah, that the Messiah would suffer. That's what he's commenting on. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you with regard to the things that have now been announced to you by those who preach the good news to you through the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels longed to look. Listen to that. That's what Paul says, this work of the Holy Spirit. Angels would long to look into what we have been given to participate in, to be a part of. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Live soberly. In other words, get yourself ready to really pursue. This is not the time to sit back, and I don't care how old you are or how young you are. God will supply. God will supply whatever it is that He wants us to have in order to be His servants, in order to be His disciples. And Paul is very clear that we're going to suffer, but what is going to be revealed through us is the Holy Spirit. And we're going to understand the mysteries of God, some of which I've tried to explain here in the most simple language. Because God is one. God is profound, but God is simple. Read the words of Scripture. Pay attention to them. And His Holy Spirit will lead you as He has led us. He will lead you into His own very heart. Really. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, what are you allowing into your mind? It doesn't mean it all has to be dead serious. There's time for fun and pleasure and laughter. Plenty of time for it. But what's at the heart of your life? Is God, is His word, is His life, are His promises dead center in your life? If not, you want to work toward that by reading the word, by memorizing the commandments and making sure that you're trying to live by them and confessing when you fail. This is just our life, but every time we do right, even every time we repent, the grace is able to enter our hearts and purify us more. So even through our sufferings and our failures, God can use them for the good. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, live soberly, set your hopes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Like obedient children, do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance. In other words, when you were pagans or living like pagans, your priorities, what you see, what you watch, what you talk about, what you allow into your mind has almost no filter at all. There's so much in the world that can tempt us, so much available to lead us astray, so much can condemn us forever. So we need to do exactly what Paul tells us here. Do not act in compliance with the desires of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in every aspect of your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I want you to be like me. That's what God is saying. I want you to identify with me. I want to be able to give you all the gifts, but I can't if you're mired down in sin, if you're muddied, if you're choked by sin. How can you receive what I have to give you? There's no room. So come repent and open your heart. I remember one man telling me how he who had been mired in sin, and he said, God helped me enormously. He said, but it was a battle, and it is a battle. He said, I had to decide what I was going to watch. I had to decide what I was going to listen to. I had to decide where I was going. In other words, I couldn't drift into anything. I had to make a conscious decision until finally my mind began to click in with, these are your priorities, and this is what will bear fruit. And he said it meant turning away from a whole host of things that had just been part of his life. But he said they might not have seemed bad. Really, some of them were very bad, but some of them, he said, were just, I thought they were just kind of neutral, but they're not neutral, he said. They're not. They lead us astray. And the more he drew near to Christ, the more he saw that. So God helps us. He really helps us. But we are the ones, we've got free will. We're the ones who have to make the decisions. And so many people say, oh, I'm too busy for that. I'm too busy. If you're too busy for your eternal salvation, you are too busy. And you need to make some decisions. Clearly. The Lord has made known His salvation. In the sight of the nations, He has revealed His justice. It's Jesus. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Break into song, sing praise. Father, Father, whatever you will, I will do. Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. Listen to Jesus. Jesus in the flesh, struggling to lay down everything before the Father. He who took on our flesh, took on our limitations, endured everything we endured, understands what he is asking us to do because he has gone before us so that we can follow him. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 28 to 31, Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. Many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." Brothers and sisters, God is not saying here, I hope you understand this, God is not saying that to follow him, if you're married, well, you just have to give up your wife and your children and follow me. No, that's irresponsibility. What Jesus is saying is, make me utterly first, and then all of your other responsibilities, rightful responsibilities, will fall into place, but make me first. Do you remember that story I told you of Susanna Wesley, John and Charles Wesley, mother, a Protestant woman, a very, very fine woman. And what did she do? She had all these children, but she needed to pray, and she knew she did. So she put her apron over her head, and she'd crawl under the kitchen table, and the two oldest children understood what that meant, and they kept the children entertained while she prayed. So in a sense, the whole family was geared toward praising God. She just made clear, I can't do all this unless I'm first with the Lord, so that I know how to mother my children. I know how to care for them. So all of us have that responsibility. We express it differently according to our state in life and according to the place where we are in life and the responsibilities we carry. But if God is not first, if our responsibility toward him is not first, every other responsibility will be impacted, will be affected, and not for the good. So take a look at your priorities. Take a look at what you need to make changes in that you really can be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, whether you understand it or not, your decisions today in this whole area, your decisions in this week, in this whole area of priorities, may be very, very, very important for the salvation of others. If you get in the right place with God, who knows how many people you will bring to Christ who otherwise might have been lost. We don't know that. We don't know how to calculate that. But we will see in heaven all those who benefited by our decisions to follow Christ more closely. We will be surprised at what God accomplished through us when we see him again. So open your hearts, open your spirits, allow God to lead you. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.